Amen. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Amen. Oh, I get excited when we sing to the Lord and we honor Him and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. There is nothing better, nothing better than Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I hope that you are experiencing the favor and the blessing of the Lord, and trust that you will be encouraged. If not, we want to encourage you these days to jump in with us. We're going to start a new series entitled Living in the Power of God, and what does that mean, and so forth. And we're going to be traveling together as we study through the book of 2 Corinthians. When I came on staff at the wonderful Alliance Church of Zephyr Hills, discovering that this was the land of milk and honey, and truly it is, our previous pastor, Pastor Paul Bartnick, was preaching through 1 Corinthians. And I believe he rightly divided the word of truth. He preached the word of God, and it took only about 4 years to get through that message series. But it was a wonderful series. And I've always kind of wondered, well, what's 2 Corinthians about? I want to jump into 2 Corinthians. And so we've just finished, you know, going and discovering God's vision for our life. And once we've discovered God's vision, catch a glimpse of Him, He's got something for us to do. And part of that is to live in the power of God. So let me ask you this question, the question of power. What do you think of when you think of power? Probably immediately you might think of, well, you know, we had a storm this morning, and there was thunder, and there was rain, and there was lightning, and some of us may have lost power. You lost electricity. You lost power. What do we think of in terms of power? Do we think of nature, of lightning? Do we think of electrical current? You can always see how much people value power if you've ever flown on an airplane. And people are walking, going to catch their flight, but they're looking for a plug to take their phone and to plug it in so it can get power, because they don't want to be with their phone without power. They don't want to lose that ability to play that game on their phone without power or get that message. They want to be plugged into power. They want that power. And many have used illustrations of the Niagara Falls and the power that that falls and that water generates. And it is close to 4 million people receive power from that amazing display of water. What does it take to live in the power of the Lord? In today's world, what type of energy is required? Is it based on success? Is it based on how one is physically fit, intellectually astute, emotionally stable, maybe spiritually sensitive, aware? And as a follower of Jesus this morning, if you are, and I hope and trust and pray that you are, does it make any difference if I'm living in my own strength? Or am I living in the power of God? Is God's power, if it's real, how does He display His power? How does He show His power? Is it available for followers of Jesus? Is there a difference between the world's power, man's power, and God's power? How can I obtain, then, God's power in my life? How can I constantly rely on God's power to strengthen me, sustain me, help me live life to the full? Now, some of us might be tempted, well, Pastor, you missed one analogy there. You know, power is really having to do with the political system. Those people who make decisions, is that power? What is this power? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, wonderful verse. I kind of am picking on this verse as the theme for this series as we embark on living in the power of God as a follower of Jesus. And it states there, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The English Standard Version says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So what does this mean? What does this mean? This power, is it something that we need to live this life today? I've heard some prominent spiritual leaders in our denomination say, you know, do we really need Jesus Christ today in our world? Do we need him? We've got everything we need. We can go to the grocery store and buy our food. We can go to the gas station and get gas. We might complain about the price. We can go out to eat. We can go here and there. We can get entertained. We can sit back and relax and take it easy. Do we really need Jesus? And I would say this, yes, yes, and yes. We need Christ today more than ever. We need to abide in him. We need to remain in him. We need to rely on him. We need the Spirit of God as a follower of Jesus to fill us to overflowing. We need the power of God. We need it moment by moment, minute by minute. Why do we need it? We need it to display Christ to others. The new International Reader's Version says this, treasure is kept in clay jars. In the same way, we have the treasure of the good news in these earthly body of ours. Think about that. That shows that the mighty power of the good news comes from God, and it doesn't come from us. What's this treasure? What is this treasure that Paul is telling the Corinthians? You see, the 2 Corinthians, this letter that Paul wrote, is one of the most personal letters that he penned in the New Testament. He wrote 1 Corinthians, he exposed some false teachings, he told them take care of it. He was out of their influence for a while in Ephesus, and he was there, and then for a time being, he was concerned, and he was trying to send Timothy there to be with them and so forth to find out about them. And there were people in the Corinthian church that was saying, Paul doesn't really care about us. He doesn't care about what's going on. In fact, we really don't know if he really is an apostle of Jesus Christ. And they were doubting his credentials. And so Paul begins to pen this letter, very personal, very real to him. And even some scholars say that there were actually four letters to the Corinthian church. And they misplaced two of them or lost them, so to speak. Some scholars think that some of those letters are parts of those letters are grafted in to 2 Corinthians. But Paul pens this letter and he goes through and he shares his heart with these followers of Jesus. And I believe he's declaring to them, listen, we have this treasure from God. It's in us, and we are jars of clay. And the reason we have this treasure is to display the mighty, glorious, brilliant power of God and to really declare that it's not from us. It doesn't come from us. We're not the power source. God is the power source. And he allows his power to flow through our lives to strengthen us, to sustain us, to help us live life to the full. You know, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, and life abundantly, life to the full. So when I look at this treasure, I see three things. The treasure is here really referred specifically to the good news of Jesus. I would even go a little deeper. I would say the treasure is Jesus himself. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you have the assurance this morning that you are a follower of his, that Christ's Spirit is residing in your life, in your heart, that you hear him speak as a gentle shepherd, that still small voice, as you spend time with him and you commune with him as friend to friend? Do you have that awareness that you are a child of his, as he told Nicodemus, born again, and that Christ's Spirit resides in you? The treasure is the good news of Jesus. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why does he say that? The next phrase there, verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the power. It's that Greek word dynamis that means mighty power of God. It's the same word here in 2 Corinthians 4:7. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God. It is the power of God. The good news of Jesus was spoken to my heart. I heard it with my ears, and God moved me in such a way that I responded in faith, believing. His Spirit came inside me, forgave me of all my sin, past, present, and future, and broke the chains and set me free and cleaned me up and gave me the desire to honor Christ in all things. That is powerful. I'm no longer enslaved by the sinful desires of this world. Oh, yes, I can choose to go there. I can choose to give in to temptation. I can choose to say no when the Holy Spirit is prodding me to go further with him. And I can say, I want to do things my own way. But God, by his grace and his ability, shows up over and over again to reveal his mercy and his majesty. And he says, hey, this good news has done a great work in your life, has transformed you so that you can declare, hey, what I once was, I no longer am. How do we know that? We know that by the examples of Scripture, don't we? We know that by the examples of those in the Word. What about the Apostle Paul himself? What took place in Acts chapter 9? We know he was called Saul. What did he want to do? He wanted to kill every follower of Jesus. He wanted to squelch this new thing called the way. He didn't want believers to have any hearing whatsoever. He went out to persecute them. He had the papers and the authorities, and he went out. But then God met him in such a powerful way on that road to Damascus that the light of Christ shined brightly upon him, probably knocked him off his horse or knocked him to the ground, and he immediately became blind. And the Lord spoke to him, and isn't it interesting there in Acts 9 that Saul knew it was Jesus? No doubt. And Jesus spoke to him and says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? There was a transformation that took place in Saul's life. The one who used to persecute Christians and wanted to put them to death. And he was even there present when Stephen was stoned. That one was transformed miraculously and powerfully by the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he became the apostle to the Gentiles. to share the good news of Jesus to others. What a transformation. This treasure is the good news of Jesus. We see that the earthen vessel or the jar of clay stored in these earthly bodies, it's referred to us, our bodies. It was common during the day that they would take clay pots, and it would be an ordinary pot. It wouldn't be a beautiful pot. It would just be an ordinary pot. Maybe had some cracks on it, but they would put their treasures, what they valued, in those pots. Some archaeologists have told us that they would even use common pots, and they would put waste products in the common pots. And they would just, you know, that would be their, like their garbage can. That's what they would do. They would just put all their waste in there and so forth and so on. So Paul uses this analogy that, hey, we are just like a garbage can. We're just like a waste bucket. We are just like this jar of clay that has a bunch of cracks in it that is stored with stuff that isn't valuable. But God comes in our life and he gives us his treasure, himself, and resides in it. But we're still that jar of clay. He says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day on day by day. And why does the Lord do that? Because he's trying to display to this world that this all-surpassing power, this dynamis, this majestic, mighty power of God that can save us from separation from God, from a life in hell and from eternal damnation, and give us life everlasting to become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. This wonderful, majestic power is from God and not from us. That's why he says, I'm just a jar of clay. I'm just kind of like not really that valuable at all. I can be replaced. But oh, God's surpassing power is the treasure. And he does a beautiful work in our lives when we yield to him. This all-surpassing power, this mighty power of the good news, it comes from God. So what does it mean then to live in the power of God? I believe, first of all, living in the power of God means that God's power, his power, dynamis, is available for me to possess. Wow. What did he tell? What did Jesus tell the disciples? When you go to Jerusalem and you wait for me, you're going to receive what? You're going to receive a package from Amazon. You're going to receive that letter in the mail. No, he says, when you go to Jerusalem and you wait, you're going to receive power. The Amplified Version says, but you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. One of the evidence that we are walking in the Spirit, we are being filled with the Spirit of God, that we are abiding in his presence, is we are telling others what Jesus means to me. This is what Jesus has done in my life. Let me share with you. We're witnesses, that power and ability to declare the good news of Jesus. Ephesians 4:30 says, don't grieve God, don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life. What? Eugene Peterson penned these words in the Message. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. God's power is called a treasure in jars of clay. What did the wise men bring to the Lord? They brought treasures. They opened it up. They brought the most valuable that they had and offered it to the Lord, Jesus. This treasure that Paul refers to here is the gospel, the divine light of the gospel. I believe it is Christ himself living in the life of every follower, his Spirit. residing in you and me. Paul compares himself to an earthly clay pot. And again, he was thinking, I'm not valuable at all, but Christ is the one who is valuable. That's why he could probably say, I count all things as lost. I consider them as, what did he say? Waste, garbage, compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ. Knowing him. So it's available. Many times we don't rely on the Spirit of God. We're trying to do it in our own strength, in our own efforts. And God is wanting to move us to the place that in order to live in the power of God, we have to recognize, yes, it's available for all of us, but I can't do it in my own strength. I see God's power, living in it means this. It means that I'm able to his power in me is able to transform my life to shine for him in such an amazing way. We've just referenced the Apostle Paul. We can see it in Peter. You say, Peter? Yes, Peter. Peter was considered, oh man, really, I'm going to tell you like it is, and whether you like it or not, you're going to hear it from me kind of guy. You know, he was that fisherman that said, hey, Lord, you're not going to go to Jerusalem. We don't want you to die. And the Lord said, hey, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't know the plans of God. And right before that, he had declared that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the Most High God. And then we know about Peter's life where, yeah, he was trying to defend the Lord, taking off the sword and cut off the high priest servant's ear. And he chopped that ear off. And the Lord said, no, it's not about that. My father could have called how many angels to take care of him, and he healed that high priest servant's ear. That should have caused everybody to fall down on their knees and worship. And then Peter goes on and he says, I'll never deny you. And then yet he did. But then when he went to Jerusalem, when he waited on the Lord met him. His Holy Spirit fell upon him. And then he became a bold witness for Jesus. He declared the good news to the whole city of Jerusalem. He didn't worry about what people thought of him. He didn't worry about, well, are they going to like me? Are they not going to like me? If I share Jesus with this person, will they hate me? Will they stop having a relationship with me? I don't think I need to share Jesus then. I want that relationship more than I want to share the good news of Christ. Oh, God forbid that we would say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God to everyone who believes. It can change their life. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Paul could say, I'm an earthen vessel, but I don't consider myself garbage in that sense because Christ has redeemed me. I am his child. I belong to him. I've been bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus. I'm cleansed by the Holy Spirit of God. God has washed away my sin, removed it as far as the east is from the west, and makes me fit for his use. And I come to Christ by faith, believing in him as my Savior and risen Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10, you know those verses well, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and thus has righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses and thus has salvation. God does an amazing, miraculous, powerful work in the hearts of those who come to him and say, yes, Lord, I want to be your child. I believe in you. Do you believe in him? Are you passionate, desiring to know him more, to know him above anything else and everything else. The hymn writer could say, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. Why? Because there is a relationship there, one of intimacy, one of a communion, one of fellowship, one of listening, one of gleaning, one of prayer. And it's based on that relationship with Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay, and we're to let it shine. I love that little chorus, this little light of mine, right? But I want that light to be a burning flame from the Holy Spirit. We need to let it shine. How do we access this power? Well, we see through Scripture that living in the power of God means that God's power is accessed when I am weak. God just works that way. In my weakness, he is made strong. Paul said he had that thorn in the flesh. He wanted it gone, but God said to him, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is fulfilled in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast in my weaknesses in order that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Other translations say that the power of Christ may rest upon me, may reside in me, may stay in me, may live in me. Each time, the Lord said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Many times we say, well, Lord, I can't do that. I can't. And God says, that's exactly what I want you to say, that you can't do that. My kids got tired of me quoting while they were growing up. I would say to them, you know, they'd say, my strength is made perfect in weakness, or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes we think that emphasis is on I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. I can leap buildings. I can be that superhero. No, what Paul is saying, what he's saying is, in my weakness, he is made strong. I can't do it. In fact, there's no way on God's green planet that I can work enough to earn eternal life. There is no way on God's green planet that I can be holy, relying upon my own strength and talent and abilities. It's all about Jesus, for Jesus, in Jesus Christ. He is the treasure. He is the one who redeems me. He is the one who died on the cross and paid the price for my sin and penalties, for your sin. And he paid it in full. And it's because of his resurrection power when he rose again, defeating death and hell once and for all, the sacrifice was made, that he gives us that gift when we come to him. As John 3:16 says, that all who believe will receive eternal life. We've been made new in Christ. Hallelujah. And so I don't rely upon my old strength. I don't rely on the flesh. I rely on the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what I rely on. One theologian says, in the midst of distressing weakness inflicted at various times by his ailment and supporting grace of Christ, he finds that that's adequate precisely because the divine power finds its scope and strength only in human weakness. When Christians acknowledge that they cannot serve Christ effectively apart from his empowering, it is not simply that weakness is a prerequisite for power. Both weakness and power existed simultaneously in Paul's life, as they did in Christ's ministry and death. Indeed, the cross of Christ is the supreme example of power in weakness. Paul wrote to the Philippians, he says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Another translation says, Philippians 4:13 says it this way, and I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. I like that. In other words, I cannot do it in my own strength. I have to rely upon Jesus. And I have to acknowledge that. I have to say to the Lord, Lord, it's all you. It's not me. I need you to experience your power in and through me so that Christ will be exalted, so that others will see this treasure that's in this frail jar of clay. They'll see this treasure, but you know what? They won't glorify me. They won't say, oh, great job, Ted. No, they'll say, oh, praise God for what he's done in you. I also see here that living in the power of God means that God's power accompanies me in the everyday trials of life. In verses 8 through 12 of chapter 4, and we'll come back to that, but as we see here, he says this, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, and always caring about around in the body the death of the Lord Jesus, and also the life of Jesus might be expressed in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that also the life of Jesus might be made manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. What is Paul saying here? If I saw that list before, hey, come to Jesus, and you know what? You're going to experience trouble. You're going to be perplexed. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be cast down. You're going to carry around yourself the marks and the death of Jesus. You're going to be delivered to death, and you're going to experience that death working in you. What would you have said? Come to Jesus. I would have said, I don't think so. But oh, listen, what's the second part of what the Holy Spirit does in Paul's life? How could he do that? Because he was living in the power of God. This is what he did. He said, I am troubled, yet we're not distressed. We're not distressed because God's power is at work in me. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair because God's power is at work. I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken because Christ is with me always. I may be cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Not destroyed because God's power is at work in me. I'm carrying around the body and the death of the Lord Jesus. Wow, what an honor. So that the life of Jesus expressed in our bodies could be made evident. He lives. He lives. He lives. How do I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Man, I'm delivered to death, but because of the power of God living in me, the life of Jesus is made evident and manifested. And death is at work, yes, but life is also at work in me, but also in others. Because they'll see, again, the power of God in my life, and they'll be attracted to Christ. When others look at you, are they attracted to Christ? Are they attracted to the Savior? He is the light of the world. Light attracts. It repels darkness, but it attracts. So how can I live in God's power? I live in God's power, first of all, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I'm a child of his. I believe in him. I put my faith and trust in him. Have you made that commitment to the Lord? That you said yes, not just intellectually, but man, you're all in. Every part of you, you're all in. Lord Jesus, I'm all in. I want to follow you. I want to know you. I want to live for you. I want you to come and have your Holy Spirit live inside of me. I want you to remove my sin. Forgive me. I agree with you. And I ask, Lord, that you will do a new work in my life, that I may be your child. You know, when we pray a simple prayer like that, God doesn't turn you away. He says, as many as received him, he gave them the right, wow, the authority, the right, the privilege to be called children of God, and that is what we are. Many times we go around in our world and we just kind of like hang our head low and we want nobody to know that we're a child of God. We don't want anybody to know that this treasure in jars of clay can transform their lives, that the all-surpassing power of God that has done a transformation in my life wants to do a wonderful transformation in their life, but we're so busy trying to cover up the cracks so the lights don't shine. God says, oh, one of the evidences, realizing that in the midst of all the cracks, his light shines brighter. Secondly, I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. How can I live in the power of God? Just ask God. Oh, God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. And we are so afraid of that because we don't know what that means. Because, yes, God is totally other. And he's holy. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's almighty. And sometimes when we pray that prayer as a genuine follower of Jesus, we're afraid. We're afraid that the world's going to think we've gone cuckoo, but let them think that we've gone cuckoo. Or we think that, oh, we're going to do strange things. We're going to babble in a different language, or we're going to act kind of loony, or run around and be just like helter-skelter. Oh, the presence and the power and the manifestation of the Spirit of God is so much graceful than being considered crazy. What did they accuse Jesus? They accused him, oh man, look at that. He's the son of Beelzebub. That's the prince of demons. Jesus said, well, how can the prince of demons cast out demons? God is all powerful, all knowing, all loving. And being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, under the influence of the Spirit of God, doesn't mean that I'm holier than thou. Oh, no. It means that I'm becoming like Jesus, moment by moment, day by day. I express his love. I express his kindness. I express his meekness. I express his faithfulness. I express his love. I express his peace. I express his character in every moment of every day. I express his wisdom and his knowledge because I'm filled with the Spirit. So he receives all the glory. Thirdly, by being a herald of the gospel. A herald was one who proclaimed, shouted out the good news. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald, the feet of them who proclaims peace, who brings news of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Wow. God wants me to be that proclaimer. Who have you shared Jesus with lately? Don't allow fear to keep you from proclaiming faith. So, the question that we ask ourselves this morning is this. I can live in God's power, and I believe that's God's desire for us as a people of God to demonstrate this treasure in jars of clay so that we can shine for him like we've never shined before because it's his light flowing through us. So what is God saying to you and me this morning from his word? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel that able to be proclaimed in such a way that, Lord, your Holy Spirit does a marvelous work that transforms the life of the seeker from sinner to saint. And you do that. And I praise you. I praise you that, Lord, your Spirit moved in such a way to proclaim your good news to us as your followers on that specific given day that we responded in faith believing. I thank you. I thank you that, Lord, you've opened up your holy word to our hearts that we can be men and women, boys and girls of God who are dependent upon you, that we are filled with your Holy Spirit. Filled. And we can live in victory over that. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be continually filled with your Spirit as we go from this place today and as we go forth to live in our communities. That, Lord, that you will shine brightly as that treasure in us. And Lord, I thank you. I thank that you want us to be proclaimers, heralds of the gospel. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be those individuals who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, recognizing that it is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. So, Lord, help us to display your power that we can just declare unashamedly, boldly, bravely, what you have done for us. Lord, that you forgive our sins. That you continually hear our prayers. That you heal our feeble bodies. That you open up our minds to the deep spiritual truths of your holy word. And Lord, that you flow through us the divine light of Christ. Thank you. Have your way among us, we pray. For your glory, we ask. In Jesus' name.